This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Later today, the great basketball player LeBron James announces whether he'll sign to play for his hometown team in Cleveland or play for Miami, Chicago, New York, or maybe even New Jersey. After years of steadily bubbling speculation, the buzz erupted into a national frenzy over the past few weeks, and it culminates tonight in a one-hour special on ESPN. In a way, this is Curt Flood's story, too. 40 years ago, Flood challenged the system that tied professional ballplayers to the team that first signed them for life. After many years as a center fielder for the St. Louis Cardinals, Flood learned that he'd been traded to the Philadelphia Phillies and refused to go. After 12 years in the major leagues, he wrote to then-baseball commissioner Bowie Kuhn, "I do not feel I am a piece of property to be bought and sold, irrespective of my wishes." The analogy to slavery was lost on no one. Curt Flood sat out the next season, which cost him $100,000. Tonight, LeBron James selects which team gets to pay him something well north of $100 million. We'd like to hear from the athletes in our audience today about how the relationship between owners and players has changed since 1969, whether that's an entirely good thing. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. NPR correspondent Tom Goldman joins us now from his home in Portland. And Tom, it's always great to have you on the program.
Thanks, Neil. Portland, which I don't believe is in the running for LeBron James, but we won't know until 9 Eastern tonight.
We won't know until 9 Eastern time tonight. I guess it's important in this conversation to remember that Curt Flood went to federal court and lost that case.
He did. He went all the way to the Supreme Court and lost. But, you know, that really kind of started a movement. In 1974, 1975, an arbitrator ruled in favor of players, which really paved the way for free agency, not just in baseball. Baseball was the first, but also in 1970, the great Oscar Robertson, who was out of the game then but head of the Players Association, filed a lawsuit, and that was resolved 6 years later in 1976, which paved the way for NBA players to become free agents, at least restricted free agents at that time, which meant that the team they were going to leave had the opportunity to match the new team's offer. In the late 80s, then you had unrestricted free agency coming into play, which is what we're seeing now. But you're absolutely right. I mean, this 40-year span from Curt Flood and being ostracized like a lot of people and here we are 40 years later with The Decision live on ESPN TV. Don't know what the early pioneers would think of this. Of course, it's I don't think anyone would argue with the importance of players having the freedom of movement. But I think a lot of people are saying this is a little excessive tonight.
It might be a little excessive tonight. But the turnabout could not be more complete from when a player literally, for most of the history of the game of baseball, again, our longest running professional sport, a lot of the time you'd be mailed a contract in the wintertime and you could sign it and come into play or you could sit.
Right. And the owners ruled. You know, the owners had their way with contracts. It was in the owners' favor how things were resolved. The players had very little, if any, rights. And now you have the players calling the shots. You know, you have the players not only calling the shots, but if it's to be believed that LeBron James, Dwayne Wade of the Miami Heat, and Chris Bosh of now the Miami Heat, apparently, you know, we're having these so-called summits and deciding, you know, if they all wanted to play together, which now is today, actually today is the buzz that this may happen. The three of them may be in Miami together. But you have these guys kind of deciding, okay, let's all play here and we will shift the power of an entire league, or at least that's their intention to shift the power by all signing with the same team. So it's just very dramatic where we've come over these decades.
If owners did that, if they said, look, here's a really good idea. It would be better for the league and our economics and everybody's bottom line if we put LeBron James in New York or Portland or wherever, just to build up the audience there. Good to have a good team in New York in the biggest market in the country, and we'll move this player there. And that would be called collusion, and it would be illegal.
Exactly. It would, and it has been in the past. Not that they've done exactly that, but in Major League Baseball, certainly, the owners were found guilty of collusion. So, yeah, right now I would say that players rule.
And so you have this idea that tonight, And correct me if my understanding of this is wrong. LeBron James decided that he was going to make the announcement, contacted ESPN, which, of course, is owned by ABC or the other way around. I'm not exactly sure which.
Right.
And said, why don't we do this on ESPN? And I'll name the person who does the interview. And
right.
I'll, in fact, name the sponsors, or at least most of them. And I will name the place where all of the profits go.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as we said, this is power. This is control. It makes people, especially in the media, squirm a little bit. Even some ESPN columnists have been writing about this. You know, this is the story that has been driven by ESPN over the last 7 days. Well, really over the last couple of years, but most intensively over the last 7 days, driven by ESPN. ESPN insiders, supposedly Chris Broussard. For anyone who watches ESPN, is now the most famous guy on the network. He's the ultimate insider, getting all kinds of information from sources, and you know he's on by the hour. I've watched him kind of, you know how they know how you see presidents over their span age.
Mm-hmm.
You see Chris Broussard aging over the last week. At least he's losing his voice. He's getting very hoarse, and so it's the network that is driving this story, which is now going to create this moment when we will have the only real news. Because up to now it's been a lot of speculation and rumor. A lot of people are kind of uncomfortable with that, but the one sure thing is it is driving so much attention. Panting NBA fans are going to tune in droves. Everyone wants to see what he says.
Watching Chris Broussard this past week has been a little like watching Mel Kiper's hair slightly disarray as the draft day
that
approaches.
Could never happen though, Neil. No.
It's interesting, the balance of power in the league could shift. These are important. Probably the economic importance of this has been slightly exaggerated. But it's important to a place like Cleveland or Miami if they have a winning basketball team.
Oh, certainly, and even more so than, I mean, Miami's got, you know, beautiful city and the ocean. I mean, no knock on Cleveland, but Cleveland is hungry for a championship team. It hasn't been since 1964 when the Browns won the NFL championship. Those were pre-Super Bowl days. And, LeBron James has been, for the last 7 years, the guy who's going to finally deliver. He hasn't in 7 years. Cleveland fans obviously hope that he does. But, yeah, I mean, a championship means a lot to a city, and you know, that's been studied over the years, whether it just gives everyone more a spring in their step or it helps economically. It helps, and Clevelanders are nervous but hopeful that their native son will come through for them tonight.
We want to hear from athletes in our audience about the history of the past 40 years and the new rights that were won by players in mostly labor negotiations. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Jamil is on the line calling us from Sacramento.
How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I personally think that it's good that the players have more autonomy in choosing where they're going. I believe, you know, when we look at the situation with Shaq and Kobe, a personality conflict. I mean, players need to feel like they want to be in that city and they want to play with those teammates. And I think it's better for everybody that is protected and that they have the ability to go and play wherever and not be restricted by saying, oh, if I leave, I lose $30 million or $20 million. But if I go, I can actually go and play because I want to win a championship with this team. It's about winning and not about, you know, the contract that I can lose $30 million. And that's something that, you know, is restricting good players from forming good teams and playing in cities that they want to play in.
Do you speak from personal experience, Jamil?
I do. I play professional sports. I play for the NBA Developmental League, which is the minor league team for Chicago Bulls, as well as the Washington Wizards. And, you know, part of the when you're pretty much, you know, drafted to a team, you really have no rights, no say. You pretty much fall under their rules. And, you know, your rights are sent wherever the team feels fit. And I think, the one time that you do have a choice to say, hey, I want to go to this team or I want to leave here, during a free agency, there shouldn't be this restricted free agency or these rules that cap players' income. At some point in time, there has to be a choice, and the players should should earn that and deserve that during the free agency.
All right. And do you think that players, and this has been brought up a lot in the LeBron James case, he grew up in Akron, Ohio, the only team he's played for, I think, for 7 years professionally, right, has been in Cleveland. He's now a free agent. He's played out his contract. Does he owe the people of Cleveland and the team there anything?
He doesn't owe me anything. I mean, I think, you know, you played 7 years there. He tried his best. The team tried their best, but obviously it wasn't a good fit. I think if we look at Kevin Garnett, he wants to look at his legacy. I mean, LeBron needs a championship. Kevin Garnett needs a championship. And the only way they were able to do it is by leaving. I think, you know, there's been several players who played in the league and they've gone for the money. I mean, everybody complains about the players getting all this money, but at the same time, at what point do they get to play for what they love, and that's the championship, and to win? And if LeBron is handicapped his decision by the amount of money he can make, he'll never be the legacy player like a Michael Jordan that he deserves to be.
All right, Jamil, thanks very much. Good luck with your career.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Neil, I would just interject here that, you know, yes, certainly a lot of people agree with what Jamil's saying. And players have absolutely the right to go where they want, and they've earned that over the past number of decades. You know, but what does come with that is there a responsibility and a ton of more pressure, as we're seeing with LeBron James. And that goes to the question you asked, Jamil, you know, does he owe Cleveland anything? It's going to be his decision. And so if he decides against Cleveland, Clevelanders will know whom to blame. And, you know, big decision. And he's, I'm sure, trying to keep his head clear.
He mentioned the Garnett in that conversation. He, of course, played with the Minnesota Timberwolves, I believe.
Right.
Played out his contract and then got a free agent contract to play with the Boston Celtics, where he went on to win a title with the Celtics. So that's what he was able to do because of free agency.
And joined a similar situation as to what people are speculating about Miami. It became known as the Big Three in Boston, with Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen joining the team and winning a championship right away. But, you know, it doesn't always happen, though. When you combine super talent, that will guarantee a championship, and that's an important part of the conversation.
We're talking with NPR correspondent Tom Goldman about the, I think it's being called The Decision. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go next to Ken. Ken with us from Minneapolis.
Yes, thank you. The point that's being missed is that the professional leagues are cartels. I teach economics at Metropolitan State University here, and it's very clear. Every economic study I've seen has found that as the salaries go up, the owners still make more money because the owners control the competition by limiting the number of teams. If there was not a cartel, New York would have maybe 10 teams. And now New York has two baseball teams. The market allows them to still make money, though they're paying these outrageous salaries.
And indeed, Tom, there's been a lot of speculation. There is a salary cap in the NBA. The amount of money LeBron can make from his contract is about the same. You and me might quibble over $30 million, but about the same, no matter who he plays for. But on an open market, some people have said, well, LeBron James could get as much as Alex Rodriguez, easily $225 million a year, more than that.
Right. There is a cap. It's called a soft cap, though, because you can exceed it, if, for instance, if you're trying to retain a certain player. But I think Ken is right, and I think what Ken kind of what his side of the discussion is kind of pointing to is you're hearing that in the next labor negotiations, what appears now to be like the wild, wild west and these players commanding, you know, the maximum amount of money that they possibly can, that isn't going to happen with the next labor contract, and that things will tighten up, and that this freewheeling spending, while it may not be a thing of the past, ownership is going to come down fairly hard on the players.
Ken, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Let's go next to, this is Dale. Dale with us from Utica.
Hi. Thank you for letting me call.
Sure.
I was just going to make a comment that I think that really all the players, all professional players, really owe a lot to Kirk Flood, ultimately. I mean, he was really the person who went to bat to get everybody the right to earn what they could, no matter where they were playing. However, that didn't come without a cost, the cost being team loyalty. While I completely support all these guys being able to make whatever they can, in the end, it does seem to have impacted where people ultimately play their careers. They jump from place to place.
And the feeling here in Washington, D.C., they have this remarkable young pitcher, Steven Strasburg, but already you hear people saying, well, they needed to wait to introduce him to the major leagues until a certain period of time had passed so that he would have another year before he was eligible for free agency and goes to play for the Yankees.
Sure, and you don't have to look that far back when you think about the Florida Marlins, I think it was, who won the World Series a few years ago and then completely dismantled. So, again, I think that, you know, they all should earn what they can, and they owe Kurt Flood a great deal of debt for that. But unfortunately, it costs cities team loyalty.
Tom?
It does. That's why, again, tonight could be significant, whichever direction LeBron James goes. If he decides to stay in Cleveland, that will be a strike for team loyalty that Dale's talking about. And that would, you know, create a whole different kind of legacy than if he were to end up going with his buddies Bosch and Wade to Miami, or with Amari Stoudemire to New York, or wherever else. So I know there are a lot of people, a lot of traditionalists who love team loyalty, who are people who aren't from Cleveland, who are rooting for him to stay and try and break through with the championship in his home state.
Dale, thanks very much.
Thanks again.
Bye bye. I think we may have time to squeeze in one more caller. Let's go to Victor. Victor with us from Sacramento.
Yes, hello. I'm a triathlete, a professional athlete, and just this week the triathletes announced the formation of a professional triathlon association, much like the Professional Baseball Association, Players Association. But, of course, this is the very first week of its existence, to address the very same concerns, and that is that the athletes want a voice in their destiny.
Voice in their destiny. Is this to lobby the people who stage the events to make sure that their people are being paid properly and the conditions are good?
Exactly.
And how are you doing?
Well, this is week one. We're just registering members.
Well, good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Appreciate the phone call. We'll end with this email from Norm in Maple Heights, Ohio, and which may be near Cleveland. I use LeBron and Maurice Claret as examples of what to do and not do in life skills discussions with my students. The King James sideshow has tarnished his young crown. If he leaves Cleveland, he will epitomize all that's bad with sports stars' greed. If he stays, he'll have to explain why he put our community through all the weeks of anxiety. Either way he chooses, he's lost the luster created for someone who has not won a championship ring, and should he leave, he will be remembered with the likes of Art Modell. Well, that's about as bad a thing as you can say for somebody from Cleveland, but greed doesn't really factor into it, Tom. He gets the paid pretty. He could make more money in Cleveland than he could anywhere else.
Absolutely.
NPR's Tom Goldman is going to be watching the decision tonight at 9 o'clock. Thanks very much, Tom.
Neil, it's been a pleasure taking part in the interview.
NPR sports correspondent Tom Goldman. We'll be back with you on Monday. It's Science Friday, Talk of the Nation tomorrow. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.